I'm Brian McCreath from WCRB with Sebastian Dossé, who's back in Boston with Ensemble Correspondance and with more music by Marc-Antoine Charpentier. Sebastian, thanks so much for a little bit of your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Your concert at the Boston Early Music Festival in 2017, I thought was one of the highlights of the festival, and we talked about Charpentier at that time. And the thing that there's a couple of points that you made when we talked before. One, that Charpentier was really working for this particular woman, Marie de Guise. And so I think, was this pastoral also written for her?
Yes, the two programs are very linked. The one we played in last year was around Litanie de la Vierge, and with a special program with in the scores all the names of the singers. So we are sure that these works we played last year were composed for this Hôtel de Guise, and a large part of this program tonight is also linked to this special place, and especially the two pastorals, the one in Latin and the one in French. And it's very special because we have these names in the score, so we can be sure that it's for Hôtel de Guise. But what is also very special is this genre, the pastoral, doesn't exist at this time at any other composers. So Charpentier is very singular when he does that, and probably it's a command of his patroness, of Marie de Guise. She is a very special woman of this time because she's very free. She was not married. She was against the power, against her cousin Louis XIV. She was very involved in religious things. And she was very fond of arts, especially music, especially Italian music. So she's a personality very original in this 17th century. And I think she ordered herself to Charpentier to write this kind of new thing that doesn't exist anywhere. And I think she's also very special as Charpentier is.
Yeah, absolutely. And the first part of the program are the antiphons for Advent. Mm-hmm. Is this also in the category of music written for Marie de Guise?
We don't know exactly because there are no names in this scores. And this is very special because it's like very small priors, and they were composed for the time before Christmas, probably not made to be played together. But what Charpentier did is very uniform. It's like a cycle of music of seven pieces. And I think it's very interesting because it sounds for me like haiku in Japanese literature. And it's very intense, very small, but it's like very impressive. It lasts 1 or 2 minutes, but it's like if you were you arrived in a special universe, then you leave it. In 1 minute. So it's very interesting music. We are not sure it's written for the Hôtel de Guise, and it could have also been written for the Jesuits, because Charpentier also worked for them at this time.
But the way that you describe it, let me make sure I'm clear, that what you're saying is these little moments, these couple of minutes long, are like their own little jewels. But are you saying that they, when you hear them all together, they act almost as a larger entity?
Yes, I think so. And I think Charpentier at one moment thought the same, because at some moment of the scores, he writes, here we play this instrumental Noël. So probably it was maybe played once like a cycle of music.
Okay, so yeah, that in that sense, we might even relate it to something like Christmas Oratorio by Bach, written for six separate days, but when you hear them all together, you can see a unity among them, and that's how these antiphons seem like they come across as well.
Exactly, and maybe they don't tell the story of Christmas, whereas the pastoral does, but it's like a prologue for the story of Christmas, because all these texts refers to ancient things in the Bible, and I imagine that like really like a prologue.
Yes, exactly. Like Advent does lead into Christmas by a way of preparation for Christmas. So it's a really nicely constructed program from that sense. Now, one of the things that you mentioned about Charpentier when we talked before is that because he was working primarily for Marie de Guise, and he wasn't working for a royal court who was demanding very specific things. He had the ability to just try anything on his own. He was an experimentalist, and he would come up with things that nobody else had done, largely drawn, I think you said, from his time in Italy, but very much different, not imitating at all. In the pastorals, are there specific things that you would point to that he does that are experimental, aside from the fact that nobody had written a pastoral before, yes. But just specific things he does musically that are in that category?
I think so. And the experimental things you can find in it are in harmony, because it's so special, so rich. And in this work, some harmonies you can't find anywhere else. You can find very thing very special in the way of telling the story, because you have many characters. It's very dramatic music, and that's very close to an opera, a petite opera, a last thing is in the construction of the main thing. Probably when he wrote this piece for the first time, it had a great success in Hotel de Guise. Then we are probably sure that year after year, Marie de Guise asked to replay this music. And it's very strange to see that Charpentier didn't take the music and play it again. He had the idea of each time of making something new. And I think it's very interesting to see how a composer is not satisfied and is always looking for something, is always searching. And I think this work is very interesting for that also, because we know that it has been played maybe four, five times, and we have many different scores for that. And just to see what this composer had in mind doing and doing again, I think is very, it's touching. To
yeah.
see that.
Yeah, yeah. It's really intriguing to find out what he changes from one time to the next. Now, I don't know. Does this music have a place in France in which it is a tradition to hear it every year? Or is this not really ever done? Or is it very rare to hear this music?
It's very rare. Honestly, I think French people are not so musician than than American or English people or German people. So, unfortunately, we don't hear this music like Passion of Bach, I must admit, it's too rare.
Okay, well, thanks to you, it maybe won't be as rare as it was before. One more question for you, and I didn't ask this when you were here last time in Boston, and I wonder about the origin of the name of Ensemble Correspondance, and where does that name come from? Tell me what that means.
The origin is in a poetry by Baudelaire, in Les Fleurs du Mal. And there is a whole poetry on this correspondence. And the idea is quite hard to explain in English for me, but the idea is we have many arts who can speak together. And if I play music, you can see something. If I smell a perfume, I can hear something. So these are this is a sort of correspondence. But he also talks about correspondence between art we make on Earth and something above us. And they probably speak together. So I think this name was great to me, because it's a sort of project of musicians today, just to try to do our best to find something really interesting with all the arts talking together, but also referring to something we don't know what, but something above us, and we try to reach this thing and to create like a mirror of these things above us.
Well, you said that was going to be hard to explain in English, but you did a beautiful job. That sounds great. That's a really cool concept. I love that. I love that you chose that name for this group. So, Sebastian Dossé, welcome back to Boston. It's so good to have you back, and thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.